In our liturgy series last week, we looked at the concept of sacrifice in New Covenant worship. That we are living sacrifices offering spiritual sacrifices. When we confess our sins, when we lift up our hearts, when we tithe our wages and pray for the needs of the world, when we sit for a meal of bread and wine, each of those actions are spiritual sacrifices. They are the offerings that we present to the Lord. I mentioned that music and singing are sacrifices of praise that we offer. We saw how King David instituted liturgical reforms in Israel, including with music. When he took the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and erected a tent for it, he set up the Levitical singers and musicians to serve at the tent. They didn't offer animals there like at Moses' tent. They offered songs. Today, I want us to focus in on the musical aspect of our worship. We sing in church for various reasons: to declare God's goodness, to celebrate His works, to lament our sins, and to encourage one another, right? Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But there's one purpose of singing in church that gets overlooked sometimes, and that's the purpose of waging warfare. Waging warfare. We wage warfare against the forces of evil when we sing in worship. Throughout the Bible, music is very important to God, and God uses music to accomplish His will. We often see music facilitating God's blessing, His provision, and His judgment. There are several examples of this, starting with the Battle of Jericho in Joshua 6. You should be familiar with that story. The wall of Jericho fell down at the playing of music and shouting. The Israelites had marched around the city once a day for 6 days, with the priests blowing trumpets as they marched. On the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times, again playing trumpets. On the 7th time around, the people were commanded to shout, to lift up their voices in response to the trumpets. So at the trumpet sound, they shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Once the wall fell down, Israel went in and took the city. This was a battle scene. Warfare was being waged. But does music and shouting naturally cause walls to fall down? No. This was a miraculous event. It was God who caused the wall to fall. God did it. But He did it in conjunction with His people playing music and lifting up their voices. Their obedience to march and play and shout was the means that God used to bring down the wall. Later, when David was anointed by Samuel, he received the Spirit of Yahweh, and the first thing we see him doing is playing music. King Saul had been tormented by an evil spirit, and he asked his servants to find a man who could play the harp. One servant recommended David, saying he was skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war. And so David went before Saul, and whenever David played the harp, the evil spirit departed from Saul. David waged spiritual warfare by playing music, and God used that to make the demon flee. It's obvious that this story wants you to connect music with warfare. The servant said David was a skillful musician and a man of war. A skillful musician and a man of war. Those qualities were spoken together. They parallel one another. Furthermore, in the same story, Saul made David his armor bearer, which was a military position. The man with the harp became the armor bearer. Being a musician and being a warrior go together. David took an instrument in his hand to drive out the demon, just as a warrior takes a weapon in his hand to drive out the enemy. The use of music continues with the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings 3. Elisha was about to prophesy, and he said, "Bring me a musician. Bring me a musician." When the musician started playing, the hand of Yahweh came upon Elisha, and he began to prophesy. And guess what? The prophecy was about warfare. The Moabites would be delivered into the hand of Israel, and instructions for the battle were given. All of that done with musical accompaniment. Notice the theme of the hand in these stories. David played the harp with his hand. The hand of Yahweh came upon Elisha. The Moabites would be given into the hand of Israel. The hand represents power and strength and authority. In the Bible, the hand is used when talking about music and when talking about warfare. One of the best examples of musical warfare is the story we heard from 2 Chronicles 20. The Moabites and the Ammonites had joined forces to attack Judah, which was the southern kingdom of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at that time, and he was filled with fear when he heard that these groups were coming to attack them. But the Spirit of Yahweh came upon a man named Jahaziel, who prophesied that Judah would be protected. He said, "Do not be afraid, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh." So they assembled the army and headed out for the battlefield. But what did Jehoshaphat do? He arranged singers and musicians to march out in front of the army. Think about that. The musicians led the way into battle. They led the way into war by singing praises to God. It wasn't the military men who went first. It was the warrior musicians who went first. As they began to sing, it says God set ambushes against the people of Moab and Ammon. He turned them against each other. They had joined forces to attack Judah, but God caused them to fight each other. They killed each other off. When Judah arrived to the battlefield, all they saw were dead bodies. How cool is that? Judah did not have to fight with swords to be victorious. They had to fight with songs. Songs, not swords. When they sang to God, God fought for them and destroyed their enemies. And this is what God does for us in the new covenant when we sing and play music in worship. In Revelation, John saw musical warfare in heaven. Revelation 8 describes seven angels with trumpets. When they blew the trumpets, plagues were sent to the earth. Hail and fire, trees were burned up, the sea turned to blood, stars fell from the sky. cosmic destruction occurred at the playing of the trumpets. And several chapters in Revelation are devoted to that sort of thing. That's the heavenly worship that we participate in, isn't it? That's what we've been seeing. Our worship takes place where? In heaven. We are gathered before the throne of God. And so what we see happening with musical worship and musical warfare in the book of Revelation is what we are participating in. Through our singing, Jesus brings judgment upon his enemies. He blesses the faithful, but he brings down the wicked. He uses our music to do that. Now, we could extend this concept to our prayers, not just our singing. Even our songs are types of prayers, aren't they? In our songs, we talk to God and we implore him to do things. So also our spoken prayers wage warfare, especially the imprecatory prayers, the prayers when we ask for judgment on our enemies. In Revelation 5, there are bowls of incense going up to God, which are said to be the prayers of the saints. We heard that in Revelation 8 as well. And later in chapter 16, seven angels pour bowls of wrath onto the earth. Bowls of incense go up, bowls of wrath come down. I think the two are related. We send our prayers up to God, and God's judgment comes down, honoring our prayers, answering our petitions. This is why during corporate prayer and our liturgy, we don't just pray for personal needs. We intercede on behalf of the nations. The church is the priestly people of God. What did priests do in the Old Covenant? They were mediators. They were intercessors. They offered sacrifice. They prayed on behalf of the nations. And that is what we do in Christian worship. We pray against evil rulers and unjust wars. We pray against the persecution of Christians. We pray against the various sins of our culture. We pray against false doctrine and false worship. Because not only do we come together as the bride of Christ, we come together as the army of God, putting on the full armor of God. We don't just renew covenant and offer sacrifices of praise. We wage warfare against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have to believe that. By faith. And that goes for the kids too. Psalm 8 says, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still or to silence the enemy. Babies and infants silence the enemy with their voices. The theologian James Jordan says, whenever a baby cries in church, a demon loses its wings. Amen. It is great to have a church full of crying babies because it means that a lot of demons are being defeated. Praise God. Now, of course, this assumes that your babies and infants are Christians, that they are in the covenant, that they are saved. They are members of the assembly. If the kids are waging war against the enemy, then they are a part of the army. Recruitment in God's army is not just for teenagers and adults. It is for babies and infants. Psalm 8 says so. This is why we baptize our babies and give them communion. This is why we keep the children with us in the service. Because we need their voices to fight the enemy. I hope all of this is encouraging to you. And I hope that it inspires you. Be encouraged that it is primarily corporate worship. It's what we do here with songs and prayers that changes the world. We all have different callings in life. We can't all do the same things. Some of you work regular jobs. Some of you manage the home. Maybe you do mission work or pro-life activism. Maybe you work in politics. That's wonderful. And God will use your efforts. But here in church is where He calls all of us to be every Sunday. Regardless of what you do elsewhere, this is where He wants all of His people to be. If you want to change the culture, if you want to change the government, then waging war in church is the most important thing you can do. It's more important than activism. It's more important than voting. The battle belongs to the Lord. He will fight for you. You just need to be here to lift up your voice or to play an instrument. I hope this inspires you to take singing in church seriously. It's how we wage warfare, and it actually does something. God uses it to change the world. It's that important. Men, you especially need to lead in this area. You can't talk big about masculinity and headship and then zone out during singing. That doesn't compute. Manly singing is a part of your calling. And yes, there are always exceptions. Maybe you have a sore throat. Maybe you're not familiar with the tune. That's fine. But you need to know what the expectation is and then try to meet that expectation as much as possible. Be an example to your wife and to your children. If you want them to lift up their voice, you need to be lifting up your voice. At St. David's, I like all of the songs that we sing, but I have a special place in my heart for the warlike songs. The ones that sound like we're going out to battle. You know what I'm talking about. Rise again, ye lion-hearted. The Son of God goes forth to war. Psalm 83, Psalm 94, and more. The concept of worship as warfare is why I emphasize those types of songs. If worship is warfare, then there should be elements that sound like warfare. A lot of liturgical churches don't have that at all. You know, it's like we've talked about during communion at a lot of other liturgical churches. Is it joyous? Is it festive? Is it a celebration meal? No, it's a Debbie Downer. Everyone's sad. Everyone's got their heads down, right? That's not what we do here. That's not what we see in the Bible. It's the same with music. A lot of churches don't lift up their voices. They don't sing with enthusiasm. You don't feel like you're in a battle. You feel like you've already lost the battle. And that is not how it should be. That doesn't reflect what we see in heaven. That doesn't reflect the victory that we know we have in Christ. My vision for church music is what I've called a reverent ruckus. A reverent ruckus. Remember how Jonathan from Estonia described us? He said our worship had the reverence of Lutheran worship, but with the energy of Pentecostalism. That's a great description. That's right where I want to be. Because the music and singing should be robust. It should be as excellent as we can make it. That would include having more instruments. Praise God for our pianists and violinists. And we have a trumpeter now. Praise the Lord for that. But I would love to see even more musicians up here. I would love for us to have a mini orchestra. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not only for our singing to sound joyful and warlike, but our music to sound full and warlike. Let that be your vision for church music, and pray that God brings us more musicians for that purpose. In closing, I want to point out that Jesus himself was a singer. We heard the account of the Lord's Supper this morning from Mark 14. The reason I chose that passage is because of what it says at the end. After eating and drinking, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The first Eucharistic meal concluded with a hymn. Jesus sang in the presence of his disciples. And what happened when they went to the Mount of Olives? What was the next thing? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed and arrested. He was falsely tried before the Sanhedrin, and he was sent to the cross to die. Jesus ate and drank, and then he sang a hymn before embarking on his biggest battle. And during the battle, while suffering on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is a line from Psalm 22. The Psalms are songs. They are divinely inspired songs. Could it be that Jesus sang from the cross? We can't say for sure, but he at least cried out with familiar song lyrics. He cried out with familiar song lyrics. Jesus, your Lord, sung hymns, and he knew the Psalms. Jesus used music and lyrics before and during his battle on the cross. He died and he rose victorious for your salvation. And that should give you all the motivation you need to lift up your voice in worship. Be like Jesus, true God and true man. Wage warfare by singing and fight well. Fight well with your voice and your instruments, and watch how God destroys the wicked and exalts the righteous.